listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to The Seminarian Show. I'm Alfonso Gomez from the Diocese of Charlotte, and joining me are my classmates, Britt Taylor from the Diocese of Charlotte as well, and P.J. Brandon-Marty from the Glorious Diocese of Columbus.
Glorious. Very
glorious.
Nice.
Doxa, as we heard today in class.
Oh my, yes, doxa.
11 times.
Did you know that glorious appears 11 times in 2 Corinthians?
Yeah, I found out today. Yeah. Do you know what St. Thomas says is a definition of doxa?
I don't, but I'm sure you as our Thomistic expert will tell me.
We'll move beyond that. But how about with a little bit of doxa, can we start off with a prayer, PJ?
Indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, you call us to many things in this life. You call us to love. You call us to faith. But through all these things, you call us to prayer. Allow us to encounter you in this most mystical way. Allow us the strength and the perseverance so that at all times, even when we don't want to, we may encounter you in sacred prayer. We ask all this as we ask all good things through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Great. Thank you, PJ. And what a fitting way to introduce the topic of today, which is prayer, which I think it's one of the most basic things of the Christian, but at the same time, probably one of the
most challenging,
misunderstood.
Yeah.
Neglected, and kind of like this lack of trust with prayer. And that we see even from the very beginnings when the apostles, they even ask our Lord, Lord, teach us how to pray.
Right.
And so today we're going to be talking about, I guess, some of the forms of prayer, difficulties of prayer, and the reality of prayer. And I have this quote by the Catechism from its glossary that says, this is, just gives us a basic definition of prayer. So it defines prayer as the elevation of the mind and heart to God in praise of his glory, a petition made to God for some desire good, or in thanksgiving for a good received, or in intercession for others before God. Through prayer, the Christian experiences a communion with God through Christ and the Church. And given that, I think there's this really big misconception with prayer. And I feel like in our culture, in our church culture today, a lot of people see prayer as like this tossing a coin in the fountain kind of thing, you know?
Making a wish kind of thing.
Yeah, just like making a wish. And if it happens, if it comes out to be true, then
you prayed hard enough.
Then you prayed hard enough, or you just got lucky. You know, it's kind of like, it's just like the luck of the draw. And so I think because of that, there's almost like this notion that prayer isn't really reliable. So if you say someone will just pray about it, or like you need to pray about this, it's kind of like, okay, you know, I'm just kind of
thanks for nothing.
PJ,
how often do you see in like social media and these responses like, my thoughts and prayers are with you,
right?
I used to say that all the time before I became, you know, one, a practicing Catholic again, and two, a seminarian. And I never really did anything with that. And I was having this conversation with somebody once, and they're like, that's enough. Mm-hmm. That's all you need to say.
Yeah.
So are your prayers really with somebody when you're like, oh, my thoughts and prayers? First of all, what are your thoughts being with this person really going to do for them? Mm-hmm. I don't think any good. The prayer will do good. But if the limitation is, you know, I'm just gonna say I'm going to pray for you, and that's all you do, then.
Right. And, you know, people see, they see that reality that they don't actually take that to prayer. They just send, you know, that comment of empathy. And now I think we're moving away from saying my thoughts and prayers are with you to saying, hey, we're sending good vibes or good thoughts. I don't know if you've seen that.
I've seen it, and it makes my blood boil.
Yeah.
And I can tell you as a seminarian, you say, I'll pray for you a lot more as a seminarian or as a priest than other people. And that actually has been like the biggest like formative thing for me, is because that's a serious commitment. Mm-hmm. When I tell somebody I'm going to pray for you, that's coming from a seminarian. I know I'm going to be answerable to God if I don't. So right. I try and make sure that I pray for everybody I say I'm going to pray for, but at the very least, every day during my Thanksgiving at Mass, mm-hmm. I always say, Lord, for everybody I said I would pray for in my life that mm-hmm. I've forgotten, I'm sorry, I pray for them.
Right.
Accept all the good work. That's how I dedicate my day. Mm-hmm. Anything good I do today is for those people I've said I'm going to pray for that I forgot to pray for. Mm-hmm. And then I do various other things for my friends, for my family, for myself. But my generic mission of the day is for everyone I said I was going to pray for and I forgot, I offer this day to you, Lord.
Yeah. So. And I mean, that resonates completely with my experience as well, because I have a terrible memory. And I'm really sorry if you're listening to me and I've told you that I'm going to pray for you. But I do pray. I do pray for you, even though if my memory works against me. But I do pray for you, because when we pray the office, when we pray Lauds and Vespers, mm-hmm. we're praying for the church and
right.
and all the intentions and needs of the people in the church. And so the Lord knows, the Lord knows my intention to pray for you. And so I always, when I'm praying the office, I make a little mental note there as well. Say, Lord, for all the people who I'm forgetting to pray for, you know their needs and meet those needs. But going back to this reliability with prayer, not just on the person who's doing the prayer, but prayer itself,
mm-hmm.
I think our culture is kind of like really fallen into an extreme empiricism, which means that you need to have concrete evidence
right.
of something, or else it's not really true.
Yeah, well, it's that today's day and ages. I mean, the science has given us so much. I mean, look at all the technology. Look at all the wonderful things we've been given in this world because of our endeavors in science and technology. And people, it's results-based. And I mean, even your job, you think about where, well, what can you do for me? What can you give me? Contracts where I'll give you X money to do Y job. It's all about these results. And people approach prayer with that same mentality with, I need to pray to God for this. I need to pray to God that I do well on my test. Or X, Y, or Z, whatever mm-hmm. intention you want here, but that's not really at the heart of what prayer actually is.
Right.
And actually, I think the catechism, I don't know if you have it written down, the different kinds of prayer, if you've got that, maybe now's a good time to...
Yeah, so we have the different kinds of prayer, such as thanksgiving, mm-hmm. adoration, contemplation, meditation. And it's very interesting because the Our Father has a really specific setup. And when we go through the section on the liturgy, the sacraments and prayer of the catechism, it kind of uses the Our Father also like as a setup for that section. Because in the beginning of the Our Father, it immediately starts off with praise, which is another form of prayer that I left out. But praising God, because what does it say? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Mm-hmm.
And then it begins with the petitions of thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then the petitions about us, about our sustenance, about our needs. And so it has a precedence, a preeminent kind of like ordering that there's a recognition of God's greatness before we get into the section on...
Into the give me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know, I mean, I totally struggle with that where... It's I go into prayer and I'm immediately like, Lord, I need X, Y, and Z, and I need it by 3 o'clock because that's
3 o'clock. If you do that, that'd be great.
Yeah, and I think that's a huge temptation for us as well when we are developing our prayer life. You're listening to the Seminarian Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. You can hear the show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. I'm Alfonso Gomez from the Diocese of Charlotte, and joining me are my classmates, Britt Taylor, also from the Diocese of Charlotte, and P.J. Brandomarty from the Diocese of Columbus.
I believe it was the glorious Diocese of Columbus, as you mentioned before.
The glorious.
It's been a long couple of minutes here at the beginning of the show. So.
I know. We can still be glorious.
Do you remember we're talking today about Moses' glory fading? Like
yes. Oh, do I? I remember my glory faded during that conversation, I think.
Well, I think that's been going on in this conversation.
Wow.
All right. Well, that's lunch for me. Have a great day, guys.
So back to prayer. So we can only go up.
Back to prayer. So what we were talking about is when the apostles ask, you know, our Lord and say, Lord, teach us how to pray because, you know, we don't we're not getting it right.
And they didn't have the catechism to just go and read.
Basically. So our Lord gives him the Our Father and has a setup of first recognizing God's greatness and then moving into the asking for one's needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think there's a huge truth there because, and this goes back to the reliability of prayer, is like, who are you asking? Like, you have to have this huge trust in God himself first. And you recognizing his greatness and recognizing who he is as a divine being and then placing your needs in his hands, like, that is a very great way to pray because you first, you know, cultivate that trust and then you ask. You just don't go up and ask and then say, well, I don't really know if you're going to be able to do this. So it's like, no, you first make those acts of trust, which seems to be, to me, it seems like that's the beginning of the Our Father, is
right.
You're manifesting that act of trust.
Yep.
But yeah, and so I don't know, what are your guys' favorite forms of prayer, or what do you guys recommend to people whenever they say they're struggling with prayer?
Personally, definitely coming to seminary, one of the things that has developed drastically relative to what I was praying with before is the prayer of thanksgiving. It's common practice in seminary where after everyone receives communion or after mass, you get down on your knees and you say a little prayer of thanksgiving, because what you were just talking about with who are you addressing with the Our Father, it's the same thing with mass, with who did you just receive or who did you just witness come to earth again, if not Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament and Holy Eucharist. And the Almighty, the Infinite, is contained in a piece of bread or the wine, and you are gracious enough to be able to receive our Lord, and then enjoy that intense communion with him. And how often is our first thought, oh, I got to get to the parking lot so I can beat everyone out of Mass, instead of taking just 30 seconds, 45 seconds, a minute, just to say, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for all the gifts in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's now kind of gone into other aspects of my life where it's silly, but whenever you pray to St. Anthony, oh, I lost my wallet, or oh, I lost my car keys, and you find it, and you're like, all right, well, thanks for that, as opposed to just, oh, cool, here are my car keys, let me just hit the road and keep going with what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
To take time out of your moment, remember, you're not alone in this, and that's what Thanksgiving is all about, is really to remember you're connected to God, and really, you're contingent, you're reliant upon him for your very existence. So you should be thankful for that, and you should want to communicate that to him.
Right. And, you know, I really love that form of prayer, the prayer of thanksgiving, because I think it really has a huge effect on the soul, especially when people who are struggling with sorrow or envy or, you know, things like that, because they are moved away from thinking to what they don't have and what the other has and how that's in competition with themselves, to giving thanks to God for what they do have and recognizing their blessedness, you know, their gifts. So I think it not only does, like, you're giving God this praise and glory, which you should do, but, like, it has a really benefit on you.
It's instilling the virtues in you.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
We talked about a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
What's your favorite form, PJ?
You know, I'm kind of an anomaly, and I've always been an anomaly. I've
a glorious anomaly, though, because of we're in the glorious diocese.
We are. Prayer was always the thing growing up that I had the hardest time with when it came to the faith. I never was a guy who prayed. And that was one of the things that kept me from pursuing the priesthood so long, is that I just was not a guy who... Now, I prayed, I went to Mass, but I never considered myself a prayerful man. Mm-hmm. The idea that I would, like, sit down and talk to God was... It just wasn't something I ever did. And that's been by far the biggest thing I've had to work on in seminary. And it's still very hard for me. So anybody out there listening who has a hard time with prayer, trust me, I feel you, because it's, for some people, and I envy these people greatly, all they want to do is pray. Mm-hmm. And my life would be so much better, I think, if I had that desire. And I'm working on cultivating that desire, and I have been for the last couple of years, but prayer's always been hard for me. So in talking to my spiritual director, I've come to realize that the way that I pray best is through life. My favorite form of prayer is taking the words of St. Paul, and where he commands us to pray always, and to, at the end of the day, I look through everything I did today, good, bad, and indifferent, and I look and say, where was I praying here, and how were the things I did prayer? So, in class, in the chapel, when I'm spending time with my friends, how did I work prayer into this? Mm-hmm. And when you... That's helped me a great deal, and it's also helped me develop the more traditional, I shouldn't say traditional, the right way of praying, because our Lord himself commands us. The right way to pray is to go and pray. Make the conscious effort, commune with God in a quiet place. But that's not always a practical reality, especially in the world we live in today. So how do you make your life prayer? How do you make your work prayer? How do you make your time with your friends prayer? And in working through those things, it's really helped me to make the conscious prayer, that prayer time, is not only a lot easier, it's a lot more fruitful. Good example. I try and spend at least an hour with my friends at seminary every day. It's usually towards the end of the night. And I always, at the end of the night, when I'm about to go to bed, I look back and I'm like, how did my time with my friends here, how was this prayerful? And sometimes the answer is not necessarily obvious, but you can do the same thing. How was my time as a father or mother with my children today prayerful? How was my time with my spouse prayerful?
Or my coworkers.
Exactly. What I mean by that is, how did I increase the body of Christ? How did I consecrate my life through this relationship to God?
Yeah, that's very Opus Dei. I mean, that reminds me of a lot of Opus Dei. Of Jose Maria Escriva, he was like, just do your regular things and consecrate it to God.
And that has been the biggest thing. There was a point where I was pretty much like, I don't know if I can do this prayer thing.
Right.
I can do liturgy. I love liturgy. But the idea that I'm just going to sit down in a quiet space, I don't like that. I don't like the silence. Mm-hmm. And it was really reading St. Jose Maria and realizing that with my spiritual director, that I'm already praying a lot more than I think I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really helped me to have a desire to sit down, to go to adoration, to go turn off everything in my room and just look at the crucifix and talk to God. And the other thing for me is I like to talk to God. I always thought that I have to talk to him in some like big, like,
poetic
dear Lord, like,
sure.
Just, but now I just say whatever's on my heart,
right.
And it comes out the way I talk to, could be because our God is the King of the universe, but he's also our friend.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are, it would be as if your friend was the President of the United States. If you're going to be in a room with the President, you need to address him as Mr. President. You need to be respectful of the office. Because you're in this public setting. It's the same thing with liturgy. We can't have our buddy Jesus when we're worshiping him as King of the universe. But in that time where we're alone with him,
mm-hmm.
when he's calling us to that deep friendship, when he's calling us as a brother calls to another sibling, as a beloved son and disciple is called by the master, we can have that freedom of expression. And I talk to him the way I talk to you guys.
Right.
And that's really been helpful to me as well. Now, these are just things that help me. It may help you. It may not help you. But mm-hmm. this is...
No, it's a great...
There are manifold ways to pray.
And I think it matches your temperament. Like, I think for a more melancholic personality or someone who's more phlegmatic, like more laid back, I think they could probably have an easier time going into contemplation and silence. But someone who's more choleric or sanguine, who is more out there... They need to be moving, you know?
Yeah.
And so our Lord, you know, just, he works with what he gives you.
Oh, and there's nothing, like, there's so much about you as a person that I've learned this in seminary. There's so much about you as a person that is just you. It's just who you are. And that's who God created you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to ask you to do something If God's asking you to do something, chances are it's going to appeal to you in some way.
That's right.
He's not asking you to do something that you hate. That's one of the first things that Father Noble, vocations director, tells guys when they're looking at seminary. He says, if the idea of being a priest just completely repels you, then chances are you're not cut out for the priesthood. Mm-hmm. If you're not attracted to this in any way, guess what? It's the same thing with with any vocation. If you're just not attracted to it, you're not attracted to it. Let's find something that works for you. And that's why the church is so beautiful, because there's something in it for everybody.
That's right. Yeah, Britt, I don't remember if you remember the Father Corey Catron from our diocese gave an analogy, and I think it's really helpful. He said the prayer life is kind of like working out, and so whenever you're training for like a marathon. You're not going to go run the marathon, you know, whatever.
Right, you're not going to jump in and run 26.2 miles right off the bat.
Right. So, what do you think about, like, you know, when we went straight into seminary, the first thing that tells you know, 1 hour, holy hour every day. But if you weren't doing that already, or like your daily rosary,
right.
5 hours of the liturgy of the hours. So, what do you think would be good advice for like anyone who's starting at the very basics? Should they go like cold turkey and go straight into this massive regimen of prayer, or what do you think they should do?
It varies with each person, but the main thing is just whatever you're doing, make sure you're praying, doing something. I know just from my own personal experience, part of the Liturgy of the Hours, what Alphonse was talking about, where we do morning and evening prayer in common. And so my first year, my formation plan, I said I was going to do two offices, 2 hours of the Liturgy of the Hours every day. Mm-hmm. So by the end of it, to where I basically gradually jump into it. It wasn't really working for me because I found, oh, well, I didn't do morning prayer today. So, okay, I'll do daytime. Then I would skip that. And then it got down to night prayer and I only had one hour that I could do. So for me, making myself do all 5 hours was the best way for me to do it. But then there's some of us who that plan of gradually picking into things is better. So there's not one hard, fast way. Just what PJ was describing with the way he prays is going to be completely different than the way either of us pray. Mm-hmm. And so you really need to find whatever works for you. I do encourage, though, whatever you do, make sure you're praying. Because I know coming in, not having any sort of prayer life, and then trying to do a holy hour right off the bat, it's going to be a struggle. Right. You're going to be sitting there. There's going to be many times where you're just sitting there, and you're just staring and you find yourself looking, oh, that's a nice statue, or oh, that's a cool painting.
Right.
You're not really, I mean, you're praying in a sense, but you're going to go into desolation because you're not thinking you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And also what PJ was saying with these grandiose, grand statements that you have to have, where these copious words of eloquence, as St. Ephrem says, Father Mars, that one was for you. kind of going into all of these things where you have to say these huge prose words and all that. No, just approach him how you need to. Yeah, be authentic. Because he knows you, and all he wants is for you to work on that relationship. Mm-hmm. He has St. Thomas, who's written the Summa. He has St. Francis, who's done all of his work. He wants the relationship with you. He had a relationship with those two great saints, but now he wants that relationship with you, PJ, with you, Alphonse, with me, Britt, and to you, whoever's listening to our radio show.
Right.
And you can, if you don't know how to pray and you want to learn, ask first, just go to prayer and say, Lord,
teach me,
enlighten my heart. Right. Tell me, show me a way to pray to you that I can get behind.
That's one of the easiest prayers is, Lord, send me your Holy Spirit because I don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to pray. And ultimately, I mean, it's going back to the Trinity. So saying, send your Holy Spirit so that I might be able to worship you and develop this relationship.
You can also ask your priest, ask any priest. I can tell you on any given day what a priest deals with. The happiest thing he's going to have is somebody coming up to him and going, Father, can you tell me how I should pray? That would put a smile on my face, and I know it would put a smile on every priest's face, because that's why we're here.
Right.
we're not here to balance the books and and do all this other like worldly things that priests have gotten trapped into doing. We're here to talk to you about your prayer life and help you live the life that God wants you to have.
And another resource is the catechism that you are. So the catechism of the Catholic Church, it's, I think part four is all about prayer.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's a great resource, and it's set up like a resource book where I want to know about contemplation. Go to the index and look up contemplation, and it has
the footnotes too.
Yeah, the footnotes.
Amazing.
And it's got all these different things to teach you how to pray, to teach you more about what you want to know. So if you're a little shy, like I know some of us are, you don't want to go up and ask Father, can you teach me how to pray? Can you take time out of your busy schedule? Start with the catechism. Mm-hmm. Go with that and just read it. Read the part four especially, and then that's going to want you make you want to read the sacraments chapter or the creed or the morality section of the catechism and just going into it.
Great. And with that, we just want to encourage all our listeners to, again, have confidence in prayer, because it's God Almighty who wants the greatest good for you, who created you, whom you're speaking to. And, you know, just have confidence that even if he says no, there's something greater and better that's happening to you interiorly. This lifting up of the heart, as the catechism says, in union with God. And to just grow in that gradually, pick up these practices of prayer, and to develop that relationship with Christ. And with that, Britt, if you can close us off with a prayer.
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we know that we do not know how to pray as we ought, so we pray together the words that you gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's Seminarian Show. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m., and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. Thank you, and God bless you.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni,